I can talk about Anthem a little bit if you want to, because I find the reaction very interesting. And it surprised me, because like I made my two videos on it. I made my 2-minute video after the teaser, and then I did my longer one after the gameplay. And I was like, okay, we're good. And I while I was editing that video is when the Mass Effect subreddit was exploding. So when I started uploading it, I go and look at this and I'm like, oh crap. Well, I totally didn't understand what the storyline of this is. Like, the community is in uproar.
Everyone's upset. Bail.
But that's good. As soon as that happened, I'm like, well, that gives me a chance to talk about something different on the podcast.
I say go ahead, talk a bit about it, because why the fuck not?
And then hit up the Dragon Age.
Yep. Let's do it.
You ready? And we'll try this intro.
Go for it.
Hello and
welcome, patrons,
to this podcast experiment that we have going on, where we talk about Dragon Age, Mass Effect, etc. My name is Jordan. I have a YouTube channel called Exalted March.
And I'm Katie, and I have a YouTube channel called Gilderthalen, which pretty much just talks about Dragon Age lore right now.
Yeah, and so I guess we both are BioWare or Dragon Age focused channels, and I guess what's the story? Reddit, right? That Reddit thread started for you?
Yeah, the Reddit thread that Glinter, I think you pronounce it, got us together, because we started talking about podcast ideas, and we're like, hey, fuck it, let's go for it, and now we're here.
Yeah, and I guess what we talked about was the concept of, instead of having a head-to-head debate type of show, let's take some of the most controversial issues within Dragon Age or Mass Effect lore, or maybe some stuff within the community, and instead of doing head-to-head debate, we would kind of try and be like mediators to get other people to the middle ground.
Yeah, because, oh my gosh, people get so fired up about their particular side, they just refuse to see the other. So, like, Anders did nothing wrong versus Anders is literally Satan or a terrorist, that kind of shit.
Mages need to be locked up, or, you know, mages should be allowed to put magic leashes on Templars.
Or just your opinion on Sarah. I feel like everyone either hates her or loves her.
I've done both. I love Sarah, and then I hate her as well.
I was, like, really annoyed with her at first, and then I did the romance. So I'm like, okay, I see where this is coming from. She's pretty cute.
I think the first time I was going to romance Sarah, I had no concept of the fact. I didn't realize she was only going to be able to be romanceable by a female character. So that was kind of a surprise. And then it was just like, you know, it doesn't bug me. But then you think about the fact that some guys even got upset about that, that they didn't like her even more. And I'm like, well, come on now.
Yeah, like that's like, oh, Lord.
What is interesting about that, too, is my first playthrough of Dragon Age was a female mage, and I was so sure that I was going to romance Dorian.
Well, that worked out really well, didn't it?
Twice.
Twice. Well, yeah, how'd you not know for two games that Dorian was gay?
Wait a minute. No. Yeah, so the first playthrough, I didn't know Dorian was gay, but I never figured that out about Sarah either.
Oh, I see.
It was like the second or third playthrough when I'm like, I'm going to try the Sarah romance, and then I was like, no, I'm not.
Jordan, I'd hate to tell you, but I think your gaydar is kind of shit.
Oh, I know it's shit, because it's not just Dragon Age. It happened in Mass Effect, too. My first playthrough of Andromeda, I'm like, man, Suvi is so great. We have these really awesome conversations.
Oh, no.
I'm like, this is good. That's it. I know where I'm going with this. And then I was looking on the subreddit and going, oh, come on, not again.
Well, you have a type, lesbians.
Lesbians and gay dudes, neither of which is going to do anything for me.
Oh, Lord. Well, do you want to jump in onto Anthem?
Yeah, so I guess the foreword for what we're doing. We're not going to do our sort of middle ground concept yet, because E3 just happened. Everybody's talking about the announce of Anthem, and we kind of wanted to set the groundwork, since we're both big Dragon Age fans, first episode, to do a Dragon Age 4 wish list kind of a thing. And then I guess we should also kind of loop people into the fact that you're kind of a lore expert when it comes to Dragon Age.
Expert's a really strong word. I've just read a lot, I guess. So, yeah.
You're an expert compared to me, that's for sure.
Well, I do spend a ridiculous amount of time, like, on the stupid World of Thedas books, but oh well.
So we'll talk about what could potentially be in store for Dragon Age 4. But yeah, I guess the big news within anyone who's a BioWare fan at this point is BioWare announced the existence of, and then they revealed gameplay of Anthem, which is going to be their open world. It seems like consistently online, co-op, third person, action, shooter, roleplay, combo thing. It kind of looks like Destiny. Some people are saying it looks like The Division. What did you think? First impression when you first saw the gameplay reveal?
So the first reveal, I was kind of like, "Ew, I guess whatever." I'm not really into shooters. I'm really more of an RPG person. And I know this is so trite and like really stupid, but as soon as like the gameplay reveal came out and it was a woman, I was suddenly back into it, which that's so sexist. But
I didn't notice right away. Like that was my honest impression. And then once it was like halfway through, I'm like, oh, female. It seems like a female lead or a female player that's doing that. I couldn't tell at first, but I think it is a female lead, right?
Yeah, when they showed her face, like in the suit, that was a very feminine face, at least.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was. I think when we saw the face, I was like, oh shit, maybe I would play this. So now, like, I know it's so weird, but like when they showed a girl, I was suddenly like, maybe I do want to play. Maybe I will give this a chance, which surprised me. I didn't think I was that type of person, but here I am.
Well, they got me with the what do I call this? Not the carpet bomb, but it was when they shot off all the little missiles. That was my baseline is even lower than that. It's just like they showed me pretty explosions and I'm like, I'm in, I guess.
Pretty girls and pretty explosions. That's how Anthem's gonna get sold.
Oh man, we're sophisticated, aren't we?
Oh yeah. I guess what I'm wondering is the gameplay reveal, they had a whole bunch of the different suits, the javelins. There was one in particular, and I think they showed the player Sandra wearing it, but it was almost like a floaty mage class of javelin. I would be so fucking into that. Tell me more about that one. I want to know about a mage armor. That would be so cool.
That one reminded me a lot of Destiny, and I know that the Destiny comparisons keep coming, and people are getting sick of it, but when I saw that outfit or that javelin, I just thought, wow, that looks a lot like Destiny. I don't know if it, do you think it looks too much like Destiny?
I'll be honest, I know like jack about Destiny other than it had Peter Dinklage in it. So,
oh, they fired him too.
Really?
It doesn't have Peter Dinklage in it anymore.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a weird story because when I played it, I was also excited about the fact that Dinklage was in it because he's awesome. Mm-hmm. He was really bad. Like, I don't know if it was just a case of like his agent told him, like, look, man, they're going to pay you a shit ton of money. You should definitely do this. And he's just like, what is it? Video games? Okay, whatever. The Traveler, bad guys are coming to the city. I mean, he mailed it in. It's like so monologue and so lackluster. And so eventually they replaced him with Nolan North, Nathan Drake.
Oh, okay.
And so all of the Peter Dinklage's dialogue is gone. They patched it out of the game completely.
Wow, that bad?
Yeah, it was that bad. But yeah, so I forgot about that. I mean, of course, a bunch of people, that's the whole point, is that a lot of people who are necessarily BioWare fans aren't fans of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a longtime Bungie fan, so because of my loyalty to Halo, I ended up playing Destiny quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, I like Destiny, and I like what Bungie did in that type of game. But on the other hand, I play BioWare games for a completely different reason, so I kind of see where both sides are coming from.
Mm-hmm. I think fans of at least BioWare is going to have a easier time accepting this when like any plot comes out. Because it sounds like there is some sort of story behind it. They just have nothing in there. And for what I know of BioWare fans, we're in it for the story. Like, I'm in it for the story. I don't really care much about the gameplay, but as soon as I find out it has like a good story to it, then I'd be more interested. So I think like for BioWare fans, this just wasn't the trailer we were looking for.
Yeah, I think that probably says something also, is like they chose to lead with... You could look at it one of two ways. They chose to lead with the shooting and the co-op because that's mainly what the game is about. Or they chose to lead with that because it's E3 and they wanted to make the biggest splash possible for the wider gaming community.
Yeah.
Like, they know BioWare fans are going to come because of the potential even for a great story. They're trying to broaden their audience to those people that weren't playing BioWare games before.
Yeah.
I posted something on the subreddit. I think it's like over 200 votes now on the Anthem subreddit.
Congrats.
because I'm always proud of my upvote totals. But I just found this out the other day that Drew Karpyshyn, who was the lead writer of the Mass Effect, or at least Mass Effect 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and KOTOR, he is one of the writers on Anthem.
I saw that, yeah.
So when I posted that, I posted it under the title of "This is the moment when I started to believe in Anthem's storyline," and it was him confirming it on Twitter. And I think you're right. BioWare fans are going to come for the story, mm-hmm. and if it's got somebody like Drew on it, I think there's a pretty good chance it's going to have a pretty badass story.
I hope so. If it has a badass story, which I hear Destiny has a pretty shit story, but that would make it better than Destiny, perhaps. Who knows?
Yeah, and I think Destiny, I mean, it basically has almost no story. It's pretty, mm-hmm. it's beyond lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of my feeling on it was I'll like it at least as much as I like Destiny. And just exactly like you said, if it's got a better story, well, then obviously I'm going to like it even more. So, you know, I think you're right. I think BioWare fans will come around. We just, at this point, we haven't seen enough. We've seen only that which is attractive to Borderlands and the Division fans, and you know, they haven't really given us the thing that BioWare fans are looking for yet.
Mm-hmm. What I thought is perhaps odd, but I don't want to like knock those players, is that some people are generally panicking over it, that they think that BioWare is going to give up like Mass Effect and Dragon Age games over Anthem. And to the point of like people posting like, I'm honestly having a panic attack. I'm like, guys, calm down. It's okay. Like Dragon Age 4 is still in the works, even though they haven't said it. Mass Effect's probably still going to be worked on. They're not just going to give all this shit up. So why is the internet just hates change so much. That's one thing I've learned over these years on the internet. But oh my goodness, everyone, it's okay. Calm down. Anthem isn't the end of the world, even if you don't want to play it. Even if it's a shit game, BioWare's going to be okay. Dragon Age 4 will hopefully be made, but everything's going to move on. Everything's okay.
It could even be a good thing, even if you don't play it, because I guess one other thought that I had was like, well, at least like if BioWare does both, like if they have that one mainstream game where they make a ton of money for EA, like that will always keep them safe. Like it might even allow them to be more experimental with Dragon Age and Mass Effect, because they'll have that one big moneymaker.
Hey, as long as Dragon Age Tactics gets made, I'm down for it.
Oh, yes, Dragon Age Tactics, please.
Oh, that would be my dream game. Oh, that I honestly thought we were going to get something out of E3 from that, and I am now looking back, I realize how stupid I was, but oh, God, I just wanted something so bad. So bad. I went back to the tweet where, was it Mark Dara, I forgot who tweeted out, one of the devs was like, hey, would you be interested in a Dragon Age Tactics game? And it was about a year ago. So, of course, it'd be way too soon for anything to come up at E3. Duh. But, oh, maybe one day. That would be a good E3.
That'd be a great E3. It'd be great if we come around to next year's E3 and it's Dragon Age 4 and Dragon Age Tactics being announced.
That would be amazing. I don't think it's possible, but that would be amazing. As long as it's not an iPad game. If it's an iPad game, then I'm going to be pissed because I'm not going to buy an iPad for that.
So I guess to maybe try and put a pin in the Anthem discussion. Well, I guess one last thing I thought was very interesting about it, because to talk about the panic, I started to feel a little bit of, I don't know if I would go so far as to call it panic, but when someone brought up the fact that in Jason Schreier's Kotaku story, that there were people at BioWare Montreal who were saying we felt like Edmonton was poaching our talent. Basically, whenever somebody started to do really good in a particular department, they were like, hey, you're getting promoted, quote unquote, you're being transferred to Edmonton. And it felt like Edmonton was the real studio and everybody in Montreal felt like the second, like the B team, which is what everyone's calling them now. I don't know what your reaction is, but when I heard that, like knowing the way that office politics can get, that is a real tough pill to swallow. If you actually feel like your best talent is being taken and being moved on to another project, we don't know exactly how true that is. We don't know how many people actually said that, because Jason Schreier's story doesn't confirm exactly, and it's all people who are speaking under anonymity. But I don't know. I guess my just thought on it was like, that's the only thing that I think I actually legitimately thought might actually be kind of shitty. as far as for the Andromeda team, if that happened, I can totally understand how that could be frustrating.
I'm wondering if perhaps, because like we now see BioWare hiring a whole bunch of new people for probably Dragon Age 4, that maybe they're starting to hire for that, perhaps. And so they started to hire first from the Montreal team, got some people there, and now they're trying to rehire more. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they try to hire new people from their staff currently, and then... But that's still taking people, the best people from one team, and putting them in another, so yeah.
It does make sense, though. I mean, that's actually a good point. I haven't heard anyone mention that. Everybody keeps saying, and now, of course, because the attention is on Anthem, they're saying, oh, they took it from Andromeda to give it to Anthem. But I haven't heard anybody say they took it from Andromeda to give it to Dragon Age. It's still the same thing, but I bet all of those Mass Effect fans would take that better because Dragon Age is kind of established.
Do you think, so I haven't actually finished the article yet because I'm a terrible person, would it perhaps they saw Andromeda become a sinking ship and so they decided to just pull out the good ones and keep those there because Andromeda was a lost cause? Do you think that was plausible?
Yes. In fact, I think it's not stated explicitly, but I think his story kind of insinuates that. In that Edmonton was trying to give the feedback and saying, hey, maybe we can actually raise the bar on what we're doing here. Montreal didn't seem to, at least the people that talked to Jason Schreier weren't taking it well, and they were kind of resenting that feedback. So I think that's actually correct, and I know this is going to sound kind of heartless, especially to people who really liked Andromeda. And I loved Andromeda. I played it, and I really, really loved it. I enjoyed the heck out of it, despite its flaws. But from a straight business standpoint, I think I kind of agree with the, you know, you kind of have to let your winners run and cut your losers short kind of thing. I know that sounds brutal, but it's like BioWare can't have two misses in a row. They just can't. Like, they need to knock Anthem out of the park.
So I guess to put a pin in that, at least I think they're trying to put all their money on Anthem. And yeah, Mass Effect Andromeda had to suffer, but it sounds like it was going to suffer no matter what. So they decided to cut their losses. So hopefully Anthem is going to reap the benefits from that.
Agreed.
Yep. Well, we started talking about Dragon Age 4, so I think now let's move on to that.
For sure.
I have collected so in the Dragon Age subreddit, pretty much, I think, maybe like once a month or more than that, there was over a dozen threads I had to go through where people will post what they kind of want in Dragon Age 4. So I have just made a collection of comments from that. Do you want me to read you a couple that I gathered?
Yes, and I want to be in the role of the reacting person. I don't know why I like people feeding me information that I have no idea what you're going to say, because I do read these threads, but I don't remember them as well. So fire away.
So this is going to be in chronological order, just because that's how I screenshotted them. So Reddit user HKYK from over a year ago says, bring back Trevor Morris. Yes. I love Trevor Morris. Yeah, for those who don't know, he did the music in Dragon Age Inquisition.
I was going to say, the composer? Yeah. Did he leave? What happened?
No, I don't think he left. It just so for the first two Dragon Age, they had Ion Zur, I think, and then the Inquisition was Trevor Morris. And, like, Ion Zur didn't do a bad job, but Trevor Morris was so much better.
That's right. The main theme of Inquisition is so beautiful. It rocks.
So I bought the whole album of Inquisition thinking like, oh, maybe I'll like it. I don't know, because it was in the deluxe or whatever. And I love every song, especially like the Trespasser songs. Nailed it. That Dark Solace theme is so good. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, in Dragon Age 4, I want him to come back. I want pretty much all of the themes to come back and then create new, even better ones. I think that's going to be a really good one. There's also a lot of comments, so I guess moving on, about just people coming back in general. A big one was the dog. Everyone wants a dog. I didn't get a specific comment on this because everyone pretty much said it in their in their comments.
I want an attack nug. Can we get like a train, like a war nug? But not the big ones that you ride on in DA4, but like a dog-sized nug that just attacks people.
See, I would be for that because, like, I think dog's a good character for Origin, but I think if we bring him back, it's just going to be the same character, basically. And it's just kind of, it's a one-trick pony. So a nug is a good idea.
And dog is very Ferelden, so, I mean...
Yeah. And if we're going to be in Tevinter, like, I guess Tevinters have flying cows, so we can have a flying cow. We can do that.
Oh, I don't know how that's going to work in Frostbite, but please, somebody make it happen.
So another comment, Cast the Nerd, with 14 points, says hair. I hated the hair in Dragon Age Inquisition and ended up using like two styles in all my Inquisitors. And I feel like this is a very BioWare complaint. And even in Anthem, where like the guy you talked to, I think had very like Lego piece hair. So just better hair.
Yeah. Why doesn't BioWare just go and find all the modders? Because I at this point, I don't play Dragon Age Inquisition or any of the Mass Effect games without hair mods. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just like innocent. Why don't they just go find all those people and have them do it before the game comes out? Because that's all anybody ever waits for is, when are the hair mods coming out?
Pretty much, yeah. Inquisition had like 30 bald caps, and then the ones that weren't bald caps had shaved sides. And then it was like, some of them are really just awful. Like, there was this one, I don't even know how to describe it. It was kind of like pulled back hair and had like bangs covering up most of the forehead. It just looked terrible, but like someone modded it to edit it just a little bit, and it looks so much better.
Yeah, and some of the, like, I think even some people mentioned in Andromeda, like, some of the undercuts, like, those should be good-looking haircuts, and somehow they're not.
Yeah, so whoever is at BioWare doing the hair, we appreciate all of your hard work, but please, like, go to some sort of, like, class, or we need a better texture, and, like, maybe look at some models.
It's not that you're inadequate. It's just a skill gap. We just got to work on it.
Yeah. We just got to, you know, get there. We're all learning. It's okay.
I will just throw in one of the things that I jotted down, which is, I know everybody says hair and it's kind of the same thing, but I would like to specify beards.
One of the comments here is beards. Yeah, beards. I was so sad there were no sideburns in Dragon Age Inquisition because my Hawk had some great sideburns. And so, like, without them, he just wasn't him. I'm still waiting for modders. This is a note to you. If you can make sideburns, I will love you forever. I will sponsor you. I'll do anything for that stupid mod.
It doesn't matter as much in Andromeda, because I don't want a beard on my Shepard or Rider anyway. But in Dragon Age, as a fantasy setting, if I'm role-playing a male character, I'm like, it's got to have an epic beard.
Especially if it's a dwarf.
Yes.
So Electric Patu says, more creative use of the dialogue wheel. Like, say we walk into the village or something, and then all the villagers are like super sad. The player character investigates, and suddenly all of the wheels are emotion wheels, except all of the options are varying sad responses. What's going on? Is the game broken? You investigate more. Turns out a despair demon has taken over the village and is starting to affect you. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's a really creative idea, actually.
Yeah. That kind of happened in Dragon Age 2 with, I think her name's Iona. There's the quest in the second act where you have to go find the missing Templars, and then you meet that, I'm trying to find a polite word to say whore, but...
No, I have it. They name her in the game. She's Iona the Exotic something rather.
Yeah, it's like Exotic Wonder.
The exotic wonder, and then she brainwashes Hawk.
Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say, you just kind of like pause and do something. So like, it's like kind of like that, where like maybe you choose an option, then it comes out in one thing. You're like, hey, what gives? Oh, it's a demon. That makes sense.
Oh, you know, Mass Effect did something very similar with Morinth in Mass Effect 2. Where
really?
Morinth, for people that don't remember, is the Ardak Yachi, the sort of Asari, I don't know what you want, soul sucker, right? She basically has sex with people and then like, sucks their life essence out, but not in a way where they meld, but it kills them. And it's a it's a Paragon Renegade check. So if you have enough Paragon or Renegade, Shepard can kind of like get out of it. But otherwise, you get a dialogue wheel full of like, I will do whatever you want. I can't resist. I'm falling asleep or whatever it is. Like, they're all bad.
Something like that would be really, really cool.
I also like the idea that they said, it's a sad scene, so it's variations of sadness. That to me makes me think of like, you know, there are certain scenes where it's clear that you need to be sort of aggressive or it is a sad scene. Instead of giving us like a really out of place, like I'm going to be funny in a really sad scene, it would be nice if we had like degrees of sadness, or like, it's a sad scene, but how do I want to respond to the sadness, as opposed to sticking to like, there has to be a funny option in there.
Yeah, that I don't know why this reminds me, but in Hush Whispers, after you escape the kind of bad Red Cliff with Dorian, there's like three options you get. One's like the diplomatic, one's the funny, and then one's the angry. And the angry, I always felt was like not angry enough. I just really wanted to walk out of the Fade, punch Alexius in the face, and say, "What the fuck did you do?"
Yeah.
I was just never angry enough, and that always made me upset. That was the only line, I think, in Inquisition that like made me really upset that I couldn't say what I wanted to say.
Yeah, so I agree with this comment. More degrees of whatever that emotion is in the scene.
Mm-hmm. So next we have Average Unicorn, who says, "After getting reacquainted with DA multiplayer, I've realized that it might be really interesting to get the chance to have Zither as an actual companion. And of course, Avalas would be cool too." I'm going to hijack this and say, like, we don't have to have Zither, but I totally want to have Zither's powers. I want to be a magic bard. Okay.
I am so unfamiliar with DA Inquisition multiplayer. I think I might have played it twice.
I've also played it twice, and I honestly, I've tried to unlock Zither, but it takes so much time that I just don't have the time for it. For those who are not familiar with it, Zither is a mage who strums his little guitar, I think it's a lute, I don't know, and casts spells that way. And so instead of like the, you know, the whooshing noises for the staff, it actually comes out as guitar, like chords, I guess.
Nice.
And that is so, and like the animation is him just like rocking out to his guitar. I want to do that.
Yes, give me that BioWare.
Yeah, that would be so cool. Like, you know, how warriors get two different weapons and how rogues get two different weapons. Why don't you give the mages two different weapons and one could be a guitar? That would be so awesome.
That would be like a metal. Well, no, not metal. It would be like a folksy mage.
Oh, it could be a metal mage. Hey, you never know. Maybe like some of the subclasses are like hard rock versus like folksy.
There was that one Jack Black game that came out. I can't remember the name of it anymore.
I know what you're talking about, but I do not remember the name of it either.
But yeah, I'm totally down for a lute playing magical music mage.
Mm-hmm. So this one is probably the one of the more common comments I've seen. I'm going to have trouble with this username. "I don't have her Pez yet," says in all caps and in bright red font, "Bring back the warden."
I want to agree, but is it possible?
See, I my opinion is that they could totally bring back the warden, but I don't think they have to. So your warden is either dead or alive and searching for the calling. If people have their wardens are dead, they have a warden commander from Awakening who is definitely alive. So you either have an alive warden or an alive warden commander. And I think with that, you could totally do it. That being said, I don't know if like the warden, like I don't know anything about DA4, but I don't know if the warden would be a good choice to come back. But nothing else, I think what people want, other than having seen their warden again, is just being able to have that screenshot where all of your characters that you are ever made in one screen. Like, that's what I want. I don't know about everyone else.
I wanted that really bad in Inquisition, but now it's going to be even stranger if you have to include the Inquisitor, like, one-armed.
See, as long as, like, you know, you maybe position it right, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But I think what BioWare needs to do is have, like, a Citadel-like story where it's just a bunch of fan service. And maybe one of those is that you go into the Fade and you meet a couple spirits who have taken on the personalities of your Warden, your Hawk, and your Inquisitor and have it that way. So it's not actually them, but you do get to see them and you do get that screenshot to pretend to be like, ah, yes, remember that one time they all fought together? Oh, that was so cool.
Oh, that's a great idea. They should do that immediately.
I think that's going to be the best bet to see our warden again and then also have everyone in one go. And I think Dragon Age 4 would be the best way to do that because then we would have four people in a party, which is the, you know, max for Dragon Age. So,
yeah. Really awesome. No, I think I agree with bringing the warden back. I wonder if, other than that's a great idea, you had to have him do it kind of through the Fade. But I guess the only thing that I thought of in that vein and I jotted it down was like the Weishaupt storyline, because in what is it, Trespasser, it's insinuated that both the warden or at the very least Hawk is doing something at Weishaupt, and I'm like, well, that might be a neat way to kind of like kind of tie up, if Hawk is alive also, or if not Hawk, Alistair or Logan or one of them, and the Warden, you could kind of do something with all of them, and then there would be like a set place where they're at and they're residing at for the future of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. I think this would be a really good segue into the next part where we talk about loose plot points that Dragon Age 4 can have, but I really want to bring up one more comment because this was my favorite one. So this is by Froda Baggins, and Froda. I think this is my favorite comment that I've seen. So they say, I think what I hope for most in DA4 is Chessmas Inquisitor. I don't mean that I want the Inquisitor to be the protagonist. I don't want that, but I don't think it'll happen either. Either way, I don't necessarily want them to be the main character. I just want to play DA4 with the knowledge that my Inquisitor is there, in the shadows, pulling strings and making things happen. All that would need to happen is give this impression are things like occasionally receiving a letter from them with instructions on where to go, who is talked to who, how to proceed, the knowledge that the DA4 protagonist is a protagonist because the Inquisitor, for whatever reason, chose them for the role, perhaps even grew them for it. The Inquisitor will need to be pretty hands-off in DA4, but their presence can still be felt, and I hope it will be. I thought that was such a good idea. Like, like you, not to see the Inquisitor, but just have them controlling things from the sidelines. And like maybe every once in a while you just see like an Inquisitor or an Inquisition soldier or maybe a scout or a spy master if you disband the Inquisition. Just kind of like there, like giving you a letter and like just telling you what to do. Maybe you don't even see the Inquisitor very much. But I think that was so cool. And like given that the only hint that we've gotten at Dragon Age 4 is the red book with the rook and a wolf on it, I'm wondering how much that's going to be true.
It does sound like a great theory, but the only thing I could think of when you said that was that that person is a motherfucker. They said hands off. How dare you, hands off. So rude, so mean, making fun of the handless Inquisitor, one-armed Inquisitor, hands off. I bet you they did it on purpose. That sounds like a
maybe.
Redditor to me.
Maybe.
No, but that's a phenomenal. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. It would kind of be like how the Warden was treated if they're alive in Inquisition, but it sounds like maybe a little more than that. Like I love the idea that the Inquisitor would groom someone and pick someone to kind of like pick up the flag where they kind of left off.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also do it both ways, right? Like if you chose at the end of Trespasser to keep the Inquisition going, that would make a lot of sense. But even if you didn't, I think it's even more satisfying to think of like, okay, the Inquisition was disbanded, but the Inquisitor is still kind of like you said, behind the scenes and kind of like still pulling strings. That would be pretty badass, actually.
Mm-hmm. So I have created a list of all the loose plot points in Dragon Age that I could think of. It's kind of a long list. I don't know if we'll be able to go over everything. So would you want to talk about all, or is there something that you want to talk about before we go into this?
No, I was going to say, of that list, since you're the one who compiled it, what's your favorite one? What's the one you think is like the most, has the most opportunity?
So I think besides the Solus thing, because I think that's going to be the duh, the Those Across the Sea and the Executors. I think that's going to be a huge one coming up. Do you know much about that?
I was going to say, refresh me on both of those.
So they're pretty much the same thing. The Executors are kind of a thing of legend in Thedas. Did you ever read the Codex entries for Harden Hightown?
I did, but it was so long. It would have been the first time I played through it.
That's fine. So the Harden Hightown Codex entries, the kind of mysterious villain that's like going and everything, are the Executors. And I think... So one funny thing about Harden Hightown is that a lot of the characters in it are like thinly veiled characters from Dragon Age 2. So the Meryl version of Harden Hightown says like, oh, you know, everyone knows about them, but of course they're not real because that's actually what Thedas thinks. It's just like this made up whatever. This is going to be kind of a long story. In 599 Exalted, Queen Majoral was murdered, and she went somewhere on a hunting trip. Then she came back and she had like, I think, 5 or 6 swords impaled in her chest. And everyone's like, whoa, what the fuck going on? And that's the reason why the Steel Age is called the Steel Age, because it was such a strong point in time for that. And like, no one really knew who did it. People thought, like, even Yavanna did it or, like, someone else. And eventually a letter came out from the executors that said, no, we did it. And everyone's like, who is this? What's going on? In Inquisition, there are a couple of war table missions where eventually they come out of the woodworks as someone who has been watching the Inquisition. And they say they're from higher powers from across the sea. I guess the point is there's some continent across the sea that is watching Thetis very intently and has been for almost like 300 years.
That sounds super interesting, especially because it says they serve a higher power across the sea. So it's like mm-hmm. there's them, but there's also something bigger than them.
Mm-hmm. I have listed, if you want, I copied down the exact what is said in the War Table mission, if you want me to read that real quick.
Yes.
So it happens twice. One with one if you choose to go with Colin, and one if you choose to go with Liliana. And the way this gets starts is like there are symbols appearing in the Inquisition camps, and when you kind of investigate it, eventually you find out that those symbols are associated with the executors. So the first one, I think it was Colin. I didn't write that down, but we hold your Inquisition in high esteem. Thetis' troubles are great, but you will have the strength to meet and conquer them. More will come. We prepare for the day and hold vigil. Do not look for your men. Do not mourn for them. We have given themselves of their own free will to a higher cause. On behalf of powers across the sea, executors. So what happened there is that a whole Inquisition camp just went missing, and they basically said that all the men in the Inquisition camp decided to go with them wherever they are. Which, whoa, what happened there? Super mysterious. The one with Liliana says, compliments to your spymaster. She is a resourceful woman. When she traced her agent, Kami and Brea, the match was ruled in her favor. Tell Sister Liliana to call off her dogs, save them for Corypheus. We suspect also that she has gotten all she can from Sir Helmuth. A caterpillar on a leaf does not know where the forest is about him. You will hear no more from us. Our intention was to watch, and we have seen enough. Corypheus threatens us all, and the Inquisition is Thetis' only hope for stopping him. Remember that, for the moment, we are not your enemy. As a gesture of goodwill, we share our knowledge. May it prove valuable in the upcoming battle, on behalf of powers across the sea, executors. So, one line I think that strikes out for there is, remember that, for the moment, we are not your enemy. For the moment?
Yeah, not promising. They seem like some touchy people. But mm-hmm. then another thing that stood out to me is like they're powerful enough to refer to the Inquisition as a caterpillar on a leaf, or maybe that's just Liliana.
Oh, no, that was someone that they have captured to get information that was working with the executors.
Okay. But yeah. It's like also like the line of like Corypheus threatens us all. So they're not more mm-hmm. powerful necessarily than Corypheus. Yeah. So it's I don't know. That's very. They're powerful enough, certainly, but they're not invulnerable. They would still be concerned as much as anybody else mm-hmm. about Corypheus.
Mm-hmm. One thing that there is a theory going about that perhaps I think you actually mentioned this last time we spoke, but that the veil might only be covering Thetis itself, and the outside does not have a veil. I think this right here is kind of proof that perhaps the veil is in other places, or at least where these people are. Because why would Corypheus threaten them if he was going to, you know, he's going to take down the veil? I guess that's my thought on that.
Or, I mean, that could be. Or maybe it's that the veil isn't in any other place. And the reason why Corypheus is such a threat is, like, Thetis is the weak spot. Like, that's why they're watching so closely. It's like, this is the one place where everything could spill out.
That's a good point. Yep.
I also thought, I've always thought about this, and I don't know much about it. I just know that somewhere in the lore, it suggests that in Thetis, you know, the elves were there. It was all elven territory, and the humans came from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If I would say, I always think about, like, okay, did everyone come from somewhere else? Or there would have been arguably some faction of humans that stayed behind. And so what happened to that society?
Well, the Canari definitely did that. The Canari came from somewhere else. So this could be, I think the Canari were originally called the Kossuth. There's something weird with that. But yeah, I think the humans and the Canari both just kind of like poofed up one day. But the dwarves and the elves, for the most part, shared the land of Thetis with elves on top, dwarves on bottom. So I think that the first human settlement was kind of near the Tevinter area. So and they're by the sea, I guess, is my point. So they could have actually come.
Interesting too, if you think about, like, were humans in Qunari sent on purpose to kind of like treat Thedas as a petri dish? Like, if there are these really powerful people who like to watch things, maybe they're like, well, let's do this experiment where we send these other races in there and see what happens to elves.
Another plot point that I think you mentioned earlier was the Warden Civil War and Griffins. Because Griffins are supposedly back now, and I'm wondering if perhaps the reason, or Griffins is the cause for the Warden Civil War.
There's a, is it with Blackwall, depending on whether you romance him or not, you get a griffin egg or something like that?
You get a dark black griffin feather and his badge. So, and there's a picture associated with it, and it looks like, you know, an adult-sized griffin. So I think that the egg set had hatched at the beginning of, I think the book ended in like 941. So by 940, or whatever, a year or two after the eggs hatch, it looks like the griffins are at least grown enough to have full grown feathers. So.
Oh, that's right, because that's at the end of the calling, correct?
No, the calling is the one like way ago. It's the last flight. That's the griffin one.
This is such a weird stretch to like try and connect these two things, but. So, like, Frostbite Engine, right? Everything BioWare is doing is in the Frostbite Engine now. Okay, well, flying is a really hard thing to figure out, but you know what? In that Anthem reveal, flying looked really good. That's all I'm saying. Maybe that's the next true. Dragon Age game is going to have some flying griffins.
I would love. If nothing else, like, griffins as a warp point would be kind of cool.
Oh, that would be an awesome way. Yeah, like a fast travel.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. And on the Warden Civil War... It's going to be interesting what happens to that, if anything, because if we're going to be in Tevinter in the next game, that's really close to the Anderfells, which is like the Warden capital and where all the shit is going down. So I would be surprised if next game we don't hear at least anything from the Wardens, because apparently all of the Wardens in Thedas have been called back to the Anderfells. And apparently the only Wardens who don't go is if you... bring the Wardens into the Inquisition's fold. They decide to say, no, fuck you, Wardens, we're staying where we are, and they don't get involved. But if you exile the Wardens, they do go back and apparently become part of that civil war.
What's also interesting on the Wardens is that I can't remember where I read it, but I think I read somewhere that the hero of Ferelden tried to learn more about how to cure the calling at Weishaupt, and they were like, no, we're not helping you do this. I don't remember where I read that, but I want to say that was something, like, they made an attempt to try and learn from the, I forget the Warden titles, but the actual head of the Grey Warden Order, and they were basically shot down.
I feel like that sounds familiar, but, like, off the top of my head, I can't tell you where that's from, so...
Yeah, me neither.
Somewhere in there. I'm not a walking encyclopedia, so...
And I want to say, I'm like, I don't want to say it, and maybe it was just, like, a fan theory, but I want to say I'm leaning towards, I read it somewhere as being official, but...
The first Warden, at least if you read The Last Flight, I always kind of got the impression that he was kind of an asshole. So, maybe.
Well, the way they talk about it, like, the first Warden doesn't really do much. It's more like the Warden commanders who kind of run things in each country or region. And the first Warden just kind of chills and does politics.
Which, bring us full circle, I'm thinking that's why the Griffins are a huge deal. Because the reason that the first Warden kind of lost power was the loss of Griffins, because communication lines were lost. So if they had Griffins again, then suddenly first Warden would be trying to command the Warden commanders. And maybe they're rebelling against that.
Ah, so there, you're right. So griffins are the key. This is exciting.
Woohoo! Another. So this one's kind of a tiny plot point, but do you know what the forbidden ones are?
Not anymore. I think I did at one point.
So the one thing I hate about the name, there is the forbidden ones and the forgotten ones. The forgotten ones are like the evil elven deities.
Oh, yes. Now I remember. Yes.
The forbidden ones are just some very powerful demons. So I'm going to totally botch these names up. But so far in all of the games, we have fought one, and there's four. So there's Gax Kang that you fight in DAO, Zebanex in DA2, and Imshale in DAI. So the last one is called the Formless One, apparently. Are we going to see him? And that'd be interesting if we did, because then we fight one in each game. So...
Yep. So chances are we're almost certainly going to see the Formless One.
You would think, but I know that at one point they had planned, I think someone had, gotten from a dev that they had planned out 5 games, but then the one that was to be Inquisition became 2 games, so we're probably going to get 6. So I'm wondering if, like, maybe they're going to space it out a little bit, or I don't know what. Maybe there's going to be more Forbidden Ones coming out of the woodworks. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them.
6 games would be awesome. That means we've got 3 more Dragon Age games. That's phenomenal.
And that wouldn't include a tactics game, so I'd be down for that.
Yep.
Another one that I had down was Kal Sharrock. Are you familiar with that?
Kal Sharrock. I don't know why I thought of the, it's completely the wrong thing, but I thought of the huge Thresher Maw in Dragon Age, I mean, Mass Effect 3, but that's Kalroth. That's a completely different thing.
Perfect. You got it in one. So, you know how Orzammar, kind of the history of the Doors, they had a whole bunch of Tigs, and when the Blight came about, pretty much all of them got shut down except for Orzammar. In the beginning of the dwarf noble origin, you find out from your father that they had just found another unearthed living Tig called Kal Sharrock, and they have people in there, and they've had people all this time. So it was this huge discovery that, oh my gosh, there's another dwarven city out there. So I don't remember his name, but they recently hired a new writer onto the Dragon Age series who apparently does a lot of steampunk stuff. So people were wondering if maybe he's going to be writing steampunk type of stuff for Kal Sharrock, because Dwarvens have a bunch of, they have clocks and stuff, you know, stuff with gears. And maybe Kal Sharrock being on their own would have to build up that technology.
Was that the one that came out, the recent interview that came out about Dragon Age 4?
Yeah, that's it. I can't remember his name for the life of me, though. So I think they're going to pop off eventually. I don't know where on the map they're located, but if they are closer to Venture, that would be kind of nice. going along that, Titans and Volta specifically, because boy, did that DLC leave me with more questions than answers.
The Titans storyline is one, I think, to me, one of the most interesting ones, including like how it ties into Dwarven history. Like, I'm really, really hoping that shows up in DA4.
Oh, yeah. I think that's another question mark. They have guns. Oh, my gosh. Like, wouldn't that be cool to have that as a weapon?
It would create a lot of balance issues, but yes, it would be incredibly cool.
I that would be really cool to see. And did Volta become like queen of the Shabertal, or is she just kind of on her own? I think from a war table or whatever the mini war table in The Descent was, you could find a journal where Volta describes that the Shabertal are like scared of her. So really just ancient dwarven history is such a huge mystery, and finding out more of that would be, I think, what the series needs at this point, because there's so many people crying out for equality for dwarves. And like, people really are going.
Oh, and I was just going to say really quick, like, the only other series I can point out to that really does unique stuff with dwarves is Elder Scrolls. Because, mm-hmm. like, they've got that kind of, like, dwarves have kind of went extinct and you don't know why. And when I remember playing that years ago, thinking, no one's ever going to do this good at treating dwarves in a unique way. But Dragon Age really has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To be fair, dwarves are almost extinct, though, so.
True.
I think I have so many of these, I'm just going to, like, shotgun out a bunch of these, because I think we're kind of running out of time. So, what happens to the Blights and the rest of the Old Gods, and is there going to be an 8th Old God, because that was hinted at recently? What is the Qunari origin, and are they actually from dragons? Is there going to be a war with the Qunari, which that was kind of hinted at in Trespasser?
I kind of hope so. That would be interesting.
I want to see Sten again. Like, I don't care if he fucks up our shit. I would like to say, like, hey, buddy, what's up? Which is why I want the warden come back, because I want to have that standoff between Sten and your warden, especially if they were friends. It needs to happen. What the hell's going on in Starkhaven? So I don't know if you've been caught up with Knight Errant or the new Dragon Age comic. I think the second one actually just came out today.
Yeah, no, I know they did. They've done issue 2 now, and so interested, but I haven't read it.
For some reason, I guess minor spoilers for that, right now kind of the plot is going that they're all going to Starkhaven because some Inquisition spies were locked up. Why were Inquisition spies there to begin with? I feel like they're setting up something maybe with Starkhaven, although that might be later down the road. Another plot point could be Dorian and Maveris fixed Deventer. I think that's going to be in there. Maybe like a really small subplot, but I think that is going to... It would also be interesting to see if Fenris would come in and like perhaps do something with slavery.
Perhaps a little clash between Dorian and Fenris on that.
I would love that, and then also be terrified because I have to pick between Fenris and Dorian. I'm going to be really, really sad.
Oh, Dorian all the way.
Oh, but I don't know. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Fallout from the Tranquil Cure is next on my list because we know there's a cure now, but what happens when that cure gets out into the main society and Tranquil start being cured? Because in Asunder, I don't want to spoil Asunder because I know you're reading it.
I'm almost done with it, and yes, I think I get where you're going. It's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah, mages, like, when they get their powers back, they kind of, like, lose control a little bit, and maybe they will get better, but at least at the beginning, it's going to be kind of a clusterfuck.
There's no guarantees, which makes that conundrum that much more complicated.
Yes. Another one is, what happened to the Architect and the other Sidereal, the other Magisters? Where are they? What are they doing? Are some stuck in the Black City? What are they doing? Anything, if anything at all?
I love the Architect. They kind of like did the Architect when they did Awakenings, but in a lot of ways, I feel like the Architect is more interesting than Corypheus.
I think he is too. I think Corypheus had a really good base, but they just didn't explore it.
Yeah, and the Architect seems like and we've only really seen two of them, but seems like the most reasonable of the original Tevinter mages. Like, the Architect was very misguided, perhaps, in one sense, but it was actually in the calling trying to stop the Blights.
Yeah, so far the Architect, definitely, I agree with you, has been pretty chill guy. Maybe his idea has been kind of shit, but he's been pretty cool.
Thematically, yes. On like, the execution, no.
Yeah. Kind of going off of that, the Warden and Cure for the Calling, because are they actually going to succeed in the Cure for the Calling, or is it just kind of we just threw that at the Warden and we're never going to address it? Another one is, what happened to Morrigan, and is Kieran normal now? Will Morrigan become the next Mythal?
I was literally, that was the one I was saving. If you didn't have it, I was going to mention it, because I want to know what happens to this kid, and like my dream for like, I don't know what, Dragon Age 5 is like we end up playing a game where, I don't know, he ends up as a companion or something, but you don't know it's him until halfway through the game, like 10 years down the road. Like, that would be my dream for like how his storyline continues.
Although I would love that, I don't know how they're going to implement that because he is optional, but oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of companions, the next one I have down is Zevran taking down the Antivan Crows, because that's actually pretty huge, even though it's kind of hidden in there. Right now, if Zevran is alive, it's said that he's just single-handedly destroying the crows from the inside. That's a huge deal.
It's huge, and also, like, he can do it, because for Zevran to be alive, he's got to survive a lot of shit.
Apparently, he's already, like, killed a couple, like, very prominent members. So, I mean, good on him. And now I have two weird ones that I've divided in a couple things. So first is other races. There are other races in Thedas that we haven't seen yet, one being the Scaled Ones, which in the Descent, there's like a little codex entry saying that the dwarves at one point had a war with these Scaled Ones, which are kind of described as like these weird ritualistic doing blood magic in the deep roads with their enemies' corpses. So at one point the dwarves had a war with something that wasn't the Blight. What's going on there?
So somebody basically who lives exclusively in the deep roads, maybe even deeper, or definitely deeper than the dwarves.
Perhaps. Maybe they're the ones that started the Blight, too, if the Blight started from the deep. Who knows?
Which would be interesting. That kind of throws another wrench into, like, Chantry beliefs and stuff like that, also, if true.
Mm-hmm. And if you go around Thedas, specifically DAI, sometimes there'll be like, you know, wall paintings, and there is one of a giant lizard dude. So is that one of the Scaled Ones, or is that just some guy who's, I don't know, maybe he's a furry and he wanted to draw himself as a giant furry dude. I don't know.
That's a modern day Illuminati conspiracy theory. Lizard people have snuck into Dragon Age.
There is an Illuminati guy in the game. Did you know that? Not like Illuminati, but someone who like believes in strange things.
It's like a nod to those conspiracy theories.
Yeah, in the Avar camp in Hakon, you can meet and recruit a dude who believes on like people on the moon and all sorts of strange things, and you can actually send him on war table missions.
That's awesome.
I forget his name, but he's really cool. Another race that we have heard of, but we don't know who it is the Fex. Apparently they are the primitive race that has lived in Parvolin, and when the Qunari came in, they just said, fuck it, and they, like, you know, I don't know if they're dead, I don't know if they're alive, but there was another race called the Fex. I don't know if it's a race or a culture, kind of like maybe another human tribe or something like that. Basically, the fact that they're Fex and they lived in the Parvolin is all we really know about these people.
That's super interesting, because I've always felt like we have to go there to really know what the Qunari are like, mm-hmm. and then to find that they were like original inhabitants. That mm-hmm. would be very interesting. It would teach us a lot about the Qunari, never mind getting to actually see a whole nother race. It would really let us know kind of more about Qunari culture.
In World of Thedas, they actually had a little bit about Parvolin and did hint that, like, yeah, there was some human settlements, not just the Fex on there. And they actually had pyramids from the original people who live there. So that's kind of interesting. So the next one I have is the different prophecies that have been made in the game. And there's two main ones. There is like the Arl of Foreshadow in Dragon Age Origins, but I think like most of his stuff has come true. So I'm not going to mention him. There is the Emergent Compendium in Dragon Age 2, specifically Act 3 in the Black Emporium. And have you heard about that?
No.
It is a kind of a codex entry, and the kind of twist of it is it's about a book that when you read it, things are being written, and it's kind of written in the kind of the eyes of like this bumbling dude, and that one of the prophecies it has is basically that his wife is cheating on them, haha. But the other three are the first one is a newborn of Ravani complexion, subtitled Not He, a hornless Qunari with tightly braided hair, subtitled The Envoy Lied Honestly. And the one that got everyone's attention in Dragon Age Inquisition, two shadowed spheres among stars, subtitled An Eclipse as Fenharel Stirred.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So who is the Ravani, and is Not He meaning like it's not a man, it's a woman, or maybe it's not who we think it is? Could it be Dorian, because he is kind of a darker complexion? Hornless Qunari with tightly braided hair. All right, that has to be Sten. What did he lie about? Who did he lie to? Was it the Warden? Was it the Aerishaka at the time? What's going on there? And then two shadowed spheres among stars. We do have two moons in Thedas. So is that what that means? Or perhaps is that a reference to the Foci? And an eclipse is Fenharald stirred. Maybe we could pinpoint the time when Solas actually awoke if we figured out when there was an eclipse in Thedas. I don't know. Or maybe I'm being too literal.
No, but that would be interesting. I guess there's nothing that comes to mind when there was definitely, like, within the storylines where there was definitely an eclipse, but mm-hmm. any sign of that could be true. Did it say fair complected Ravani?
No, it's a newborn of Ravani complexion.
Of Ravani complexion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that fits, but Isabella was from Ravain, right?
Yep, and Duncan had, I don't think he was from Ravain, but he did. His parents were.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them. So, like, kind of that darker skin tone, I guess, is what they're aiming at here.
Right.
So, one thing of note, and, like, this is really tinfoil, super tinfoil theory. There is actually a solar eclipse this year in America, and I think it's August 21st. So I'm, like, wondering if they wanted to be really, really cool about it. They announced Dragon Age 4 on August 21st during the eclipse. That would be so cool.
If they did that, like planned that far in advance, that would be pretty awesome.
That would be amazing. Like, all they'd have to say is we're working on it, and I think I would be happy. Like, that's all I need. The last kind of prophecy is actually said by Sandal. One day the magic will come back, all of it. Everyone will be just like they were. The shadows will part and the skies will open wide. When he rises, everyone will see. Now, I think everyone kind of thought, like, oh, you know, this is saying, like, Solas will come back and all that stuff, but magic hasn't come back yet, so to speak. So is this saying that Solas is going to succeed? Is something else going to happen? Is it kind of prophesizing that, like, oh, No matter what happens, even without Solace, the veil is going to come down. Like, there's just so many questions here.
There's a ton of questions. And I also, I don't know, I wouldn't bet against Solace. I think one of the most interesting things about it, which of course, I mean, you can't make it as simple as like stop him. He's trying to do something bad. I would love it if in DA4 we found out, you know, like you kind of like you just said, something's coming. Something's going to change anyway. Solace is maybe just trying to make the best of it in a way.
Mm-hmm. I think another good question to ask is, how did Sandal know this?
Because, I don't know, enchantment, I don't know.
So it's also hinted at that Sandal has seen Flemeth, or a scary lady by the foot of his bed, and like she laughs really loud or something, which everyone's like, oh, it has to be Flemeth, but who really knows? I'm wondering if Sandal is kind of like what Volta has become. Or maybe one of, like, the Shabratol. Because Sandal was just found in the Deep Roads by, like, apparently this big, intricate door. There's a whole thing with his backstory. But...
And he's also kind of deadly when he needs to be.
Yeah. And during Dragon Age 2, when Hawk comes and he, like, has this giant frozen ogre next to him, Hawk's like, how did you do this? And he says, not enchantment. So maybe he does have some magic, kind of like Balta now.
Magic and, or a spirit, maybe?
Something. I don't know. Something's going on with Sandal. I don't know if they'll ever say it. Maybe this is kind of one of those things where it became a joke and now it's a little bit too unruly, which is why we didn't see him in Inquisition for the most part, except for that one entry. But yeah, that's, is there anything, any loose threads that you could think of?
I think you pretty much covered all of the main ones. Like I said, Kieran would have been the main one that I was thinking of. And there's nothing else that really comes. The wardens. I mean, that to me is one of the most interesting things because there's so much of like the main warden command structure or power structure that we haven't seen. But I think, like you said, we kind of covered that kind of eventually figuring out what happens with the Griffins. That's going to lead us to their headquarters.
And I think for that, this is a good place to end it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we have an episode. I think we have a first episode, and there'll be more to come. And like we said, next time we'll kind of get into a dual-sided discussion where we're trying to kind of meet the two opposing sides in the middle.
And I think we definitely have our ideas of what we're going to talk about next. But if there's something that you guys would like to hear us talk about, feel free to like tweet me at Gildrathon on Twitter, or you can send a PM to user Gillanon on Reddit, or you can even just comment it on this video or one of my other videos. I'll get to me eventually. And is there any place you'd like them to send you stuff?
Right now, I'm holding back on any like social media expansion. So yeah, you can just leave a comment on the YouTube video.
Okay. All right, well, we don't really have an ending bit, do we?
What do you normally say at the end of your videos? I say Maseranis.
I say Darash Shiral. So Maseranis and Darash Shiral.
Yeah, and I guess everybody love each other, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right, thank you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.